evening, listeners, and welcome along to another edition of Ireland Calling, broadcasting here out of the studio in Auckland, Planet FM studio in Auckland on a Wednesday night. Our delayed broadcast going out on Access Radio, Capital Coast Radio and Plains FM Christchurch on Saturday night. Greetings to people listening on planetaudio.org.nz around New Zealand and indeed around the world. Oliver Lee is my name. Dar, I'll bring you the latest news out from Ireland and we'll play some good music as we do on the programme each week. So I hope wherever you're listening tonight or if it's in the middle of the day, wherever you are listening, you can sit back and relax and enjoy the programme. Well, I think it's actually 27 years to the day since I did the first broadcast. I remember recording it in the old studio and it went down on air, I think, 27 years next Sunday. One of the first songs I played was Mary Black singing Song for Ireland, so we'll start the programme off with that tonight.
Freedom.
Yes, the wonderful voice there of Mary Black and that song called A Song for Ireland. And welcome along. If you've tuned in, you're listening to the Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. We'll start with sport tonight, and I ended up last week's programme. I started the programme playing a tribute to former Galway hurler Tony Keady, but there was wrong news went out about his death early, but within 24 hours sadly Tony had passed away. He obviously suffered a severe heart attack in the early hours of Tuesday morning, and obviously somebody had told somebody that he'd passed away, but he was actually seriously ill. And I'd heard the news on national radio on two news bulletins before I came into the programme last week, but they had apologised to the family. But sadly the news came through that Tony had passed away. Not alone a great hurler, but a great family man, and just a huge shock. And his funeral took place on Sunday, but on Saturday over 15,000 people came to pay tribute to the great hurler and father and team member. Played in the Galway teams in the 80s, and one visit of significance was the Tipperary team that Galway played in 1988 in the All-Ireland final. Last time they won, they turned up in mass, led by their coach Babs Keating. But hurler people, sports people came from all over the country on Saturday, and he was laid to rest on Sunday. And at halftime in Croke Park during the big game on Sunday, over 73,000 people between, I see, Cork and Waterford playing in the All-Ireland hurling semi-final. Tony was there the previous week. There was a huge tribute paid to Tony, and he got a huge round of applause. So a very big setback to his wife Margaret and his four children actually. So it's affected pretty much the sporting community all over Ireland. Onto the sports field, Waterford took on Cork, and what a great game it was. But the game changed in the 50th minute when a Cork fullback was sent off for a second yellow card, and within the space of 10 minutes Waterford had scored three goals. So Waterford will take on Galway in the All-Ireland hurling final. First time ever they'll meet in an All-Ireland hurling final. Waterford last won the All-Ireland hurling final in 1959, Galway in 1988. Galway have won four titles, Waterford two, and thankfully all Waterford fans around the world can breathe a sigh of relief, because one of their key players, Austin Gleeson, it was clearly evident that he touched and dislodged or pulled the helmet off a Cork player. The referee didn't see anything wrong with it, and the game's administration committee looked into it on Monday, went back to the referee, and because he hadn't put anything in his report, he couldn't add anything to it, and they didn't have anything to investigate. So good news for him, not so good news for one of his colleagues who, along with a Cork player, were given a straight red card on Sunday for striking. There was a bit of a scuffle, and he struck out with his hurl and hit the other player on the leg, on the foot, and they both got a straight red card. So I'd say it's unlikely they will probably appeal the decision, but in view of Austin Gleeson getting cleared to play, I doubt that his namesake, other Gleeson, will get the nod to play in the All-Ireland hurling final. It's a terrible tragedy. You train and play all year, and for many years your county gets to an All-Ireland hurling final, and you can't play. It's a huge tragedy. It happens from time to time, either, but injury is one thing that keeps you out, but the certainly losing because you're sent off. This weekend it's the turn of the footballers, and Kerry and Mayo play the first of the All-Ireland football semi-finals. The following week it's Tyrone against Dublin. Tickets for that all pretty much sold out at this stage, so a boom time for GAA. So we'll come back and we'll go through some of the other items making the news in Ireland after this next piece of music, which is Christy Moore and Bright Blue Rose.
I skimmed across black water without once submerging onto the banks of an urban morning that hungers the first light much
much more than the mountains ever do. And she, like a ghost beside me, goes down with the ease of a dolphin and emerges unlearned and shamed and harmed. For she is the perfect creature, a natural in every feature, and I am the geek with the alchemist's stone. For all of you who must discover, for all who seek to understand, for having left the path of others, you find a very special hand. And it is a holy thing, it is a precious time, and it is the only way. Forget me nots among the snow, it's always been, and so it goes. To ponder is debt, and is life eternally. You who must discover, for all who seek to understand, for having left the path of others, you find a very special hand. And it is a holy thing, and it is a precious time, and it is the only way. Forget me nots among the snow, it's always been, and so it goes. To ponder is debt, and is life eternally. Bright blue rose outlives all those 2,000 years, and still it goes. To ponder is debt, and is life eternally.
Yes, one of my favourite songs there, Christy Moore singing Bright Blue Rose. And let's hope it's a bright blue day over there in Ireland today, because today is the day that over 60,000 Leaving Cert students will get the results of the Leaving Cert. The exams sat back in June. For those of you who don't remember, we were on here in June talking about the exams. And of course, there was one or two of the examinations that had some tough questions, including honours maths, but I see that the headline of the Irish Independent today: points bonus for gamble on higher level exam paper. Leaving certificate results today show a leap in the number of students taking the honours exams papers, attracted by the first overhaul of the grading and CAO points in 25 years. and almost all subjects saw an increase in the uptake of higher level papers, where for the first time points are available for a grade of between 30 and 49%. So 58,500 will be receiving the results today, and there is a record high achieving the top grade of H1, meaning a score of between 90% and 100%, equivalent of the old A1s. To myself, got the Leaving Cert results back in 1979, and in my time, you know, you didn't think of going to university. Very few people that went to school with me. It was a job. If you were a girl, more than likely you went off and trained to be a nurse, or in some cases teachers. The lads, Post and Telegraphs was one option, the ESB, junior executive, or even just normal civil service type jobs. I ended up in a bank, and you know, a number of people went to polytechs and or technical colleges, they were then, and the odd one went to university. But by and large, some people basically started taking over helping at home on their farms. Some people went out and started doing apprenticeships with ANCO. And certainly there seem to have been jobs, more jobs available then than there is now. And a lot of the people really, you know, today they want to get the points to get into to university and third level education. But being involved in educational type magazines here as well, you know, I think that there needs to be a bigger push to get more and more people into trades, but as well as doing trades, you know, work through and do some business papers so you can become a business person as well as a tradesperson and end up running your own business. But anyway, there'll be a lot of excitement and joy and obviously sorrow this morning as people in Ireland, students, the 58,500 get their results, and let's hope you know, they see the bigger picture, because it's not just about this one big exam. It has a huge significance, but when you look at the overall life plan, you know, a year to repeat a few subjects and get extra points, or to go off, take a gap year and do something else, is certainly something that students can do these days. Right, when we come back, we'll be off with more news from the front pages. Before that, Dolores Keane, Solid Ground.
Keeping you and you won't be the moon above us on the moonlit night, and you won't be the stars in heaven, although they burn so bright. But even on the deepest ocean, you will be the light. You will be the light. You will be the light.
Well, that indeed was Dolores Keane. We didn't get solid ground, didn't take off there. Something happened, the CD playing machine here. But anyway, Dolores Keane there. And solid ground. Weather in Ireland, quite good at the moment. And obviously, days are getting a little bit shorter. We can feel the days are getting a little bit longer here in New Zealand. So once we get through August, we tend to, you know, feel that the worst of the winter is over. I can't remember who's the representative for New Zealand, the Rose of Tralee, but all the roses are getting ready for the big Rose of Tralee event next week in Tralee. And there is features here, and I see where Monaghan's Rosa Tralee, Maria Murnaghan, she's 18, will be one of the 58,500 students getting her Leaving Cert results this morning. That competing in this year's festival has proven to be a welcome distraction when it comes to getting her exam results. My name is Aaron Toobad. There's so much happening, haven't really time to think about it. The other girls were saying, oh, you're getting your Leaving Cert results this week. And I was like, God, what day is it? There's so much happening. So currently in the middle of the Rose Tour, the student, she's from Lara, will be down in Kerry today when she gets her results, and said that she's always had her Arts Cert set on becoming a nurse. I put down every college in Ireland for nursing. I can't even remember what I put down as my first choice. So good on her. Let's hope that she gets into the nursing course that she wants to do. And certainly all the nurses are, what do you call it, or the nurses, all the roses look red. Most of them are dressed in red here. And Dahi O'Shea was with them at the Malahide Castle yesterday. And there's a nice picture below the arm of my nurse, Nicola McKeown. And she's been kissed by a lovely Labradoodle dog. But certainly great, what do you call it, event for Tralee and for Ireland. Good news and bad news here on the front of the Irish Independent. A man who disappeared without trace 16 years ago, Garda, acting on a tip-off, are searching an area around Chapel Izzet in Dublin, a three-acre wooded area, and they found, you know, a weapon. And hopefully it may lead to a body for you know, the young man. He was working with Bank of Ireland. He was at a Christmas party. And on the 8th of December, he was last seen walking down Haddington Road. And it looks like he was attacked, according to reports in the last few days, by a well-known member of a criminal family. And obviously somebody, even though there was a huge reward offered earlier this year, somebody has come forward to the police last week with information and not really interested in the ward. It looks like his conscience has got the better of him, and he's decided that he wants to come clean and let the people know where, you know, this body may have been buried for 17 years. And another tragedy for a young man, in this time in Mayo, a young man that was over from England for the weekend, UK tourist with a passion for, he was found dead in the early hours of Sunday morning. John Joseph Deasy was killed in a suspected assault in the early hours of Saturday in the Swinford area. He was from St Albans, north of London, and was a regular visitor to Ireland. So obviously there's huge investigation on in Mayo at the moment. Okay, I see, you know, before we go on here, momentum grows for Michael D. Higgins to get 7 more years. And it's been announced that he'll be coming to New Zealand this year, October, I think. More details about that, and if he's available for an interview, love to have a chat to my fellow Galwegian, if he's got the time, and bring that to you here on Ireland Calling, the programme you're listening to, and hopefully you're enjoying the programme. All right, up next, Foster and Allen.
My darling, come to sit you down easily and rest a while near the soft firelight. Cold is the night, but warm is my heart with pride, having you by my side. You're still my guiding light after all these years. Your soft assuring ways, the rock I lean on, saw me through my darkest days when all hope had gone. You're still the only one I'll ever hold near, and I love you after all these years. Time from me passes on, and I'm growing old. A lifetime nearly gone, I cannot unfold. Night's dark and cold, but warm is your hand in mine. Feeble with ageless time, the light of love still shines after all these years. Your soft assuring ways, the rock I lean on, saw me through my darkest days when all hope had gone. You're still the only one I'll ever hold near, and I love you after all these years. I still love you after all these years.
Yes, well, it's kind of funny listening to that song. Well, sad in a way after all these years. And while that was on, I was just reading a couple of stories in the paper here relating to the young man whose body, hopefully, or skeleton remains, Trevor Daly. He was from Naas in County Kildare, worked and disappeared on the 8th of December 2000 on his way home at about 3 o'clock in the morning from a Christmas party, something we all did. And, you know, there was numerous theories that he could have been blown. It was a windy night, he had an umbrella, into the canal and drowned, or maybe that he took his own life. But it looks like, you know, that the indications are that he was attacked that night by somebody, and in a moment of madness or panic, that person took his body and buried it in a wooded area in Chapel, is it, just on the outskirts of Dublin. As you're heading west, I used to pass it many times when I was driving home from Dublin when I worked there. So there's a wooded area close to the River Liffey, and it's been obviously cleared over the last few days, and overnight a gun has been found, or an implement of some sort, and Gardaí are hoping that you know, when they continue their excavation of the site, they'll find his body, which will bring huge relief to his father and mother and his three siblings. And you know, after all these years, it's 16, nearly 17 years since Trevor disappeared, and the family said they've never given up, although they've asked for privacy right at this moment in time, because it's obviously a huge, terrible time for them. You know, they've worried all along. They probably never absolutely knew that he was never going to be found alive, but you know, they'll be able to put at rest some of the conspiracy theories. If you tuned in, welcome along. You're listening to Ireland Calling, broadcasting here out of the Planet FM studio in Auckland on a Wednesday night, and delayed broadcast in Wellington, Kapiti Coast and Christchurch. Greetings to people listening on planetaudio.org.nz. See a story here, homeowners in care to be exempt from vacant property tax, says Murphy. There's obviously politicians are on holidays. In fact, I think Leah Varadkar might have been in America. There was a young girl waitressing in a restaurant and she didn't even recognise him. Cargo or Boston over the last few days. I heard her being interviewed on the radio the other day. But anyway, there's still some politicians at home doing some work. And like New Zealand, there has to be more money invested into social housing and trying to get you know, people into houses. And it says here, all roads lead back to the state for a solution to our housing crisis, according to one report. Solving the housing crisis is all about a supply, but despite efforts from the government, supply is still well below the level needed to meet demand. So in the absence of new homes coming into the market, and the hope perhaps misplaced that this will lead to a price reductions and the stabilising of rent, the government is desperately trying to come up with new policies to solve this crisis. And I know there was some grants, but of about 20,000 that could be given to first-time home buyers, but it seems that the property developers and builders added on an extra 20% to the price of the house, or 20 grand to the price of the house when they heard about this. So it's a catch-22 situation, as it is here in Auckland especially, and some of the other centres around New Zealand. All right, we'll head off again with another bit of music and a couple of reels and jigs here. We'll be right back. Yes, that's Joe Donnan there, and two reels. One was called Mulvehill's Reel, and the other one was called The Dawn. And we're well past the dawn. It's very dark here now. If you're tuned in, you're listening to Ireland Calling, coming out of the Planet FM studios in Auckland. The programme brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. Well, this time last year, the Olympic Games were on in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, and literally on the day the Olympics started, there was controversy over a man caught with a lot of tickets that were the Olympic Council of Ireland's allocation, and he was trying to sell some of these for the opening ceremony at inflated prices. And when this news broke, the Minister for Sport, Shane Ross, was very unhappy, and he flew over to Rio de Janeiro, and basically was going anyways to represent the government. But on Morning Ireland programme, he basically outlined 8 or 9 questions he wanted answers for from the Olympic Council of Ireland's president, Pat Hickey. But Hickey's been around a few years, in fact about 40 or 29 years in charge of the Olympic Council, and he was ready for Ross when he went over, and there was a standoff and he refused to answer any questions. So obviously Minister Ross wasn't very happy, and he had to really prepare to come back to Ireland with his tail between his legs, although basking in the glory of Annalise Murphy winning a silver medal in the sailing. But literally on the morning that he was due to come back, Brazilian police raided the hotel, the 5-star hotel that Hickey was staying at, and the pictures went round the world. I've seen a dishevelled Hickey at about 7 o'clock in the morning, his dressing gown, arrested and put in a Brazilian jail for a number of weeks. He's was released on bail a couple of weeks later, but by that time all the events, the Olympics had finished, and an inquiry was set up in Ireland, and by a former judge. And the report into the ticketing scandal was published this week, but there was a report that the key people involved in the ticketing scandal refused to cooperate due to the ongoing legal issues that's happening in Brazil. So it looks like that Hickey the other day said he's looking forward to getting his job back, and not sure whether that'll happen or not, but he had appointed this company in London, THG Group, to sell Olympic tickets, or tickets allocated to the Irish Olympic Committee, going upwards of 2026 or something like that. So this is a contract that they paid €1 million for, to have the exclusive rights for selling tickets that the Irish Olympic Council got. And it's something that the current new members or the new CEO may not be able to break. But there was 5 unanswered questions, it says here. How did this company, THG, propose to recoup the million it paid for the rights to sell the tickets? That was a big question. How much does another organisation that was caught with some tickets owe the Olympic Council of Ireland, Pro 10? And how far back do the ticketing problems go? But the judge, to try to, a former judge, to get a quick decision, he didn't look back to what happened in London. And obviously, it felt, if he did, it'll open up another big can of worms. So I think, in hindsight, this was probably an investigation that didn't get too far. And nothing really came out of it than what people didn't know before, that Hickey was looking after his mates, and he was being looked after by his mates in the Olympic Council, the Global Olympic. Righto, Big Tom and the 4 Roads to Glenamaddy.
Four country roads winding to a town in County Galway. Four country roads leading to the friends I left behind. Four dusty roads winding to the town of Glenamaddy. Four dusty roads forever in the caverns of my mind. Once in a while, I hear the sound of music in the winter night. I see now and then the trees where we shattered from the rain. And one see us walking home in the morning light. And after the time, I long to see my hometown once again. And one country road to the churchyard where my mom and daddy lie. One dusty road where I strolled with a loved one in the shadows. And one dusty road that led me on my journey far away.
Down.
I know that
things will be all right whenever you're around.
We've shared so many good times, and we've dried each other's tears.
Heaven blessed us with love that's lasted through the
Yes, well, that's two from Big Tom. That was Big Tom along with Margot, Daniel O'Donnell's sister there, and a lovely song called Love That's Lasted Through the Years. And when the Late Late Show did that special country music show in about April, Big Tom and Margot were on there, and they'd never really recorded a song together. But in the week before the show, somebody had sent a song to both of them and said he thought it would be a great idea if they could record it. So they recorded it in May, and there it is, Big Tom. And before that, singing all about the four country roads to Glenamaddy. And that's where I went to school, and that's where I went in 1979. Many years ago was that today, to pick up my Leaving Cert results. And as I'm on air here, students, they don't need to go to the schools anymore. Some of them do, but they can get them online. But it's a day of great joy and excitement for many students, and no doubt for everybody that worked hard, you'll get the results. And but for those people that mightn't have worked that bit hard, they might have to go back and repeat a subject or two, or go on and you know, do some of them subjects at another organisation. You can do them now, and instead of repeating the whole year. But good luck to everybody in Ireland today that are getting their Leaving Cert results. Well, the continuing talk about what's going to happen when Brexit takes place and Britain finally leaves the European Union in March 2019. And there's been lots of discussions that there was going to be a hard border and a soft border. But I see the UK, they want no customs posts at the border. The physical border would be completely unacceptable, according to the British government. And the deal sought for a transition arrangement to allow seamless border post Brexit. So lots of developments on that front. Of course, no executive power sharing government set up and yet, because you know, there's still a difference between the Unionist Party and Sinn Féin, and with the Unionist Party now propping up the British government, they don't want to, British government probably don't want to upset them too much to try to force them to settle their differences and go ahead and form an executive. But the Dublin government would like to see moves so that they can get the executive back up and running, and otherwise it could be run from the UK. So certainly plenty of issues to be dealt with there. My old stomping ground where I worked in College Green, it's Dublin City Council had a plan to make it all pedestrianised after the new Lewis came through, but I see Dublin Bus are saying no, we want to make sure that our buses go through so we can have a, you know, a seamless network of public transport through the city centre. It's a huge building site at the moment. In fact, there was a lot of work taking place over the last 2 weeks connecting the two Lewis lines and getting all other roadworks and everything done around the city. But it'll be December this year, probably just week before Christmas, before the whole new Lewis system linking the city together will be up and running. Righto, let's hit another button here and look around and see what we've got. Yes, Le Connery's there, and that was called the Donegal Mazurkas, and almost taking us to the end of another edition of Ireland Calling. A nice story here. We hear so much in New Zealand about the great basketballer Steve Annes, but there's a lovely picture and story here about a young Irish lad. His name is Aidan Harris Igihon, Igihon, but he's born and raised in Dublin. His mum still lives there, and but he's 6'10", and he started playing basketball when he was 12. And after spending a year at a college last year, he's got 33 offers from other colleges to go and attend after he finishes his next year. He's a coloured man, lovely man, but he's so excited, but he still misses playing around with his mates back home in Clondalkin in West Dublin. So great to see a story like that. Just to recap again, the All-Ireland hurling final between Galway and Waterford, and if you want to log on to gaago.ie, you can be able to watch that game. It'll be probably about 13 or 14 euro. You can watch it on your computer, iPad, and link it into your TV as well, and you can watch the next two All-Ireland football semi-finals. I see Martin Brettie has come out today and says that really the next two semi-finals between Kerry and Mayo this weekend and Dublin and Tyrone the following week need to be spectacular games to revive the Gaelic football season. The hurling season has been good, and there's been some really good games. So this is the big weekend for Mayo fans. Hopefully they'll live to fight another day, get into another All-Ireland final. They've had a few near misses in this championship, but all will be forgiven if they can, what do you call it, win this weekend. Thanks again to the Hugh Green Group, and I'll leave you tonight with Harry O'Donoghue with a nice little song here called Gorgeous and Bright. I hope that your week will be gorgeous and bright till I'm back here next week.
Snow fell night and day. Light of hearts are chosen to set out from Bally Bay. We meant to find Loch Agish, but the world was dazzle bright. The fire was lit, we drank a bit home before the night. Oh, gorgeous and bright, everything white, even the Dublin Road. A fire blazing runs the heart of its glow, yeah. Oh, my love, but life is never easy days. When you learn what wife is, you rue your girlish ways. Bent along a bud and go, it's written in the stars. But propagate you no mistakes though, when they close the bars. Gorgeous and bright, with everything right, even with lights down low. There's a fire blazing, rocks the heart of its lone. Epitaph you count on is never what's in. His metaphor is the bag of M word, angular and sore. No, wake me when I'm famous, that's what they heard him say. So let's drink to him and Seamus, and to all who got away. Yeah, gorgeous and bright.